Hi and welcome to Our Think. I'm Lawrence Akers. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, member of the LGBTQI community, and a passionate advocate for mental health. Today we're continuing our chat with Scott Brennan on a topic of LGBT community and humour. Scott is an actor, comedian, writer who has appeared in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, countless television shows including Skit House, Comedy Inc., Agony Uncles and Neighbours, podcaster on Talking Puffy, one third of production company Mashup Pictures, and most recently had a short online series Housemates on ABC iView. And only in the last week or so, won a Golden Gibbo Award for his show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. We pick up on a conversation from last week where we talk about how gay men use humour as both being the butt of the joke as well as being a defence mechanism. If we look at how gay men have used humour over time as well, so we're talking before about the 1950s, and you know, there was the gender, you know, cross-dressing period there as humour.
Well, there's nothing funnier than a man in a dress.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen Miss Candy.
Wow, sorry. I just vomited in my mouth. Oh,
we love Miss Candy.
Yeah, we did, yes.
The more you drink, the better we look. Yeah, absolutely true. Love Miss Candy.
Yeah.
But if you look in the 1970s, it seemed like a strange period for the LGBT community in a sense that the humour was often quite sharp and very self-deprecating.
Mm.
You know, the film that obviously comes to mind straight away is Boys in the Band.
Oh.
And even the quotes that I got here, like, I mean, I might even try to edit in here some of the quotes from the film because they are funny.
Yeah, but so there's full no of denying self-hatred.
Funny, but they are self-loathing to the extreme. So, you know, there's that great line where the guy comes in, what's it? Who is she? Who was she? Who does she hope to be? Like, so vicious. But, you know, you show me a happy homosexual and I'll show you a gay corpse.
Oh, ouch.
And, you know, it really reflects in that period that there was a high suicide rate amongst gay men there because they would much rather be dead than accepting a lifestyle as being a gay man.
Wow. Jeez.
I know. And you have to remember that people were growing up watching this, and this was reinforcing, because not only was it sending a very clear message, but it was making people the butt of the jokes at the same time. And, you know, it was saying to people, if you're going to be like this, you aren't going to be laughed at.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of, it's pretty horrible. That is a pretty toxic film, that Boys in the Band.
It's brilliant. Go and watch it, but it's toxic.
Oh, so toxic. But I think that's kind of, it's turned around now. Like, I think with the, because I think the gay, I guess, oh, what am I saying? The gay, it's getting more and more difficult, I think, to stereotype gay men.
Well, I think nowadays, with political correctness, it's almost shunned upon.
Well, so, I guess so, but I just even more just kind of acceptance and visibility that we're seeing more of gay men than just the kind of camp stereotype. Yeah. So
I'm still waiting for Bert and Ernie to come out.
Yeah, I don't think they need to, though. They're clearly lesbians. So
that one might be edited out.
Oh, come on, horizontal stripes, please. But I, you know, I can kind of see the day when where the gay community is heading towards an identity crisis, I reckon, simply because with kind of, you know, more visibility and more acceptance, we kind of, you know, have less and less to fight against. And the gay community has been brought together, like the whole notion of gay pride has been brought together by fighting against things.
Nowadays, we also have, when you look at TV shows like Modern Family.
Yeah.
Which has a representation of a gay couple. It is ironic that the camper of the two is played brilliantly by a straight man.
Yeah, fantastic.
And it's funny because normally people might look at that portrayal and think, you know, wow, going for stereotypes. But geez, don't we love Cam in it for
the
character that he is? Because I know I've watched that and at times thought,
oh yeah, I've been exactly like that. He's actually managed to get it spot on.
Yeah, he's very good.
And then you also have shows like Vicious now, which does have not only as its two lead actors, two gay lead actors, but two actors who actually did date in real life at one point, playing, you know, 70-year-old couple that had been together for 20-something years. And I know that my partner, Ant, and I have watched that and laughed and thought, we're almost there.
Almost?
Almost, I reckon, there already, yes. With the biting comments. Obviously, we can't put any of that content in this, but I'll include links on the website in the description. So if people want to go and see some snippets of some of the shows we talked about, they'll be there for you to check it out.
But I think, like, with those sorts of shows, we've often got those kind of big stereotypes of those sort of over-the-top characters. But and we all know those over-the-top characters. So the stereotype can kind of exist for a reason in some respects. Mm. Like, we all know that ridiculously over-the-top camp person, Adam Richard. But
I think... We'll get to Adam shortly.
Yes. But I think the storylines take the characters seriously. I think that's what works in Modern Family.
Yeah.
Even though the whole show is kind of a bit ludicrous, those characters are taken seriously.
It's brilliantly written as well. Yeah. Like, you can't floor the script writing.
And so, like, you know, in the past, Mr. Humphreys would have been, whoops, and, ooh, and a giggle, and, yeah, and nobody really cares. Whatever, you go and do your own thing. But if the, you know, I think you can have that really over-the-top gay character, as long as they're treated as an actual person and not some kind of cipher for bum jokes. I think
what you just said then triggered a thought in my head that with Mr. Humphreys, everything about him was about being gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with Cam and Mitch in Modern Family, they are gay, but a lot of the issues, a lot of the traits are far more deeply rooted than that. So, you know, for all of Cam's faults, it's not because he's gay, it's because he's, you know...
Insane. Yeah.
It's all these other things.
Yes.
And I think that's potentially the difference there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, a lot of the early gay characters were only gay.
Mm.
That was it.
Yeah.
Whereas now we actually have, you know, gay characters with actual needs and wants and desires.
Yeah. Just like real people.
Oh, God.
It's like we're real.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not.
No.
Yeah.
I'm partially real.
Yeah.
Speaking of Adam Richards, Outland.
Mm.
Now, that felt very much like... it was a very funny show, very well written. Kudos, Adam. And in some ways, it reflected those of us that grew up being gay science fiction geeks.
Flying that flag,
incredibly well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, solidarity to all the Doctor Who fans out there. Get excited, Christmas special.
Oh, my God.
Is there a need for gay writers to write specifically for the gay market?
I think so. I think there'll be less and less need. But I think, you know, I don't really know what the gay experience is. I'm not really sure, you know, about that.
You're making it sound like something you'd go to at Acme or something.
Yeah, yeah, the gay experience.
It's a near ride
at Wet n Wild. It's, don't drink the water, kids. Don't drink the water.
Fashion at eggs.
But I think, you know, sometimes you kind of, you do need to hear your own voice. That was, you know, like that was what was so hard growing up that, you know, again, I guess this was what kind of encapsulates the gay experience for so many of us, is just not seeing ourselves reflected back on TV or in films or on the radio or in songs or anything like that. And I think that's hugely important to make you feel part of a society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of kind of that sort of, you know, straight privilege in a way, that a lot of people don't understand the power of turning on the TV and seeing yourself reflected back. It's so ordinary for so many people that they don't understand just how important and powerful that is. So I think that we do kind of need to have, in some ways, that sort of niche market stuff just to hear our, you know, a take on our own perspective. Yeah.
I think also we're seeing this next wave of comedians come through. And they're not even the next wave. They're kind of the big things right now.
Mm.
But, you know, certainly comedians out there like Josh Thomas, Joel Creasy, these guys who are very openly gay and who utilize that so brilliantly. But, you know, you wonder, are they always going to be utilized? Are they going to become the Julian Clary the next generation where, you know, how many times can you hear a joke about having a warm hand on your opening?
Yeah. Probably less times than you can actually have a warm hand on your opening.
Well, it diminishes over time. That's
the law of diminishing returns.
That's it. Okay. It's definitely a diminishing return.
The hands just get smaller and smaller. That's right. That's what it feels
colder
like.
Colder and colder. So, you know, you think kudos for them for getting out there and in this day and age of, you know, reaching for equality, for being visible. But then at the same time, there's almost this certain camp element to them as well. You know, would it be great to see a gay comedian that, dare I say it, wasn't so gay? Is that part of the comic value?
Oh, look, I think it's... Look, I think possibly. I think that is like that part of the comic value comes from how they're perceived rather than what they're kind of aiming for, what they're actually doing. Like I think, you know, say like with Joel Creasy, he's just himself on stage. Mm. He's kind of, you know, being authentic.
And you get that. And I really like Joel's work. I think he's really funny. You know, watching, I think it was Family Feud, Family Feud last night. I happened to be clicking channels. And Thomas saying to Grant Denyer, "You must feel like the butcher's man here right now." What was the first time you felt like the butcher's man? Yeah. And I thought... Good line.
Nice one. But yeah, I get. I'm trying to think. Are there any kind of really, sort of, you know, dare I say, in inverted commas, masculine, gay comedians? Well, you know, there's me.
You're in the room.
I don't know. When you think of gay comedy, you kind of think of those extremes. Yeah. I guess. Yeah, I'd never really thought about that.
That's, or even a slightly, you know, look at someone like John Waters, who has a very almost twisted take on things.
Yeah,
you know, I was saying before, my favourite Homer Simpson quote of all time is from the John Waters episode.
Mm-hmm. You know me, Marge. I like my beer cold, my TV loud, and my homosexuals flaming.
I don't know why I love that quote so much. I can't tell you how many times I've quoted it.
There's surprisingly a lot of opportunities to.
I think, unfortunately, I am slowly morphing into Homer Simpson. Especially with the comb over.
Yeah, I check that jaundice too. Really.
it's a hip way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Why do you think gay men love to quote so much?
Ah, I don't know. I've always loved a quote. Mm. Oh, man.
You don't see there's been... this could be my very limited experience. You don't see as many straight men walking around quoting their favourite comedies or films, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we're just...
is it because they can't do more than five syllables?
Maybe we're a little more engaged than they are, Lawrence. Maybe gay men read. I think that's the difference.
The library is open.
To the library! I don't know, but I love a quote, too. I think... so satisfying when you find the perfect quote for a particular moment.
It's just not satisfying when you think of it an hour after the event where it should have been used. That's really heartbreaking.
Yeah, I'm going to walk out of here and just be on the train. Don't!
You almost feel like phoning the person and just telling them, I was going to say this.
Totally. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Why am I guess it's kind of linked to that whole, you know, why do we love, a tragic woman? Why do we love Judy Garland and... all that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure.
Not really sure. Maybe that's a topic for another episode.
Yeah.
Why do gay men love tragic women?
Count me in on that one. That's good. Cool. I'll have to think about that.
Speaking of which, I think we have to wrap it up because I know it's gone like that.
Damn it.
We need the ding. It's gone like that.
Ding.
But thank you, Scott, for coming today and having a chat.
Thank you.
Hopefully people got, apart from, you know, all the references that were there, some of the psychological thinking that was surrounding that as well. If anyone has any questions for Scott, please feel free to email me and I'll forward them on to Scott. Maybe we'll get Scott back to reply to them.
Yeah, great.
Where can people check you out,
Scott? Why are you such a poof?
because I am.
No, yes. Where can people check me out? They can check me out the first Monday of the month, the 86, doing Granny Bingo on Smith Street in Collingwood in Melbourne. That's fun. You can also have a look at Housemates on ABC iView. Yep. We're just starting on the second series of that now.
Wonderful.
Producing that.
I did have to laugh when I watched that series, and straight afterwards I had to send you a message to say, were you the chicken on the fridge?
Because yes,
I had the feeling you were. And
totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I kind of know you well in that context.
Yeah, as if
that
there was
so Scottish.
Hello, someone had to wear a chicken suit and sit on a fridge. Do you think I would trust that in anyone else's hands?
You know, that's the kind of thing that I would jump at.
But totally,
that's so me.
yeah, so yeah, check that out. It's pretty cool.
Great. Thanks again, and
thank
you everyone for listening, and make sure you tune in next fortnight. I'm not quite sure what the topic is yet, but I'm sure it'll be titillating and entertaining.
Tragic women and chickens on fridges.
Together at last. Thanks, we'll speak to you all soon.